I want to welcome those of you who are in our Refuge Worship Service, as well as our friends on Wartburg Watch. If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. As you're turning, I'd like for you to also think about that time when you first came to faith in Jesus Christ. For some of you, it may be hard to remember. My wife, for example, came to know Christ when she was just a girl of five. Some of you may have been 55 or older, and it's a little easier to remember when Jesus became your Lord and Savior. But remember back as best you can. And then I want to ask you a question. Has your life changed for the better? I'm not talking about whether or not you have more money in the bank, whether or not your job is better. I'm not talking about if your family has stayed together. I'm not talking about things that most people in the world would think of when they are asked the question, is your life better than it used to be? What I'm talking about is you. Are you kinder? Are you gentler? Have you found your life to have more purpose in it? Do you have a sense of the presence of God? Has your life become better in terms of you? Listen, let's not fool ourselves. To be a Christian means that Jesus Christ changes us. To be a Christian is not coming to church on Sunday saying, yeah, I prayed a prayer when I was six. To be a Christian means that you love people, that you're not as self-consumed as you used to be, that you don't get as angry, as bitter as you once did. Your life is changing because Jesus changes it. Now, having said that, this morning I want to show you that the change that comes to you is not always easy. It's guaranteed, but it's not simple. For your Christian life is a contest. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This is our text, and I want to show you two or three things from it this morning, and then drill home in my own heart some application. First, in this verse, the word race is used in Greek to represent any athletic contest, not just a race, the kind of race that we think of in Western culture. I ran track when I was young. Back then, we measured our distances in yards, not meters like they do today. So I ran the 220-yard dash, the 440-yard relay. When I hear the word race, I think of something fast. I think of somebody running as hard as they can, getting to the finish line with no obstacles. That's what I think of when I think of the word race. But that's not what this Greek word means. It was used in any athletic context. Boxing, for example. Wrestling. Not just running. It is translated, this word is translated, suffering in Philippians 1 verse 29 and struggle in Colossians 2 and verse 1. From this Greek word translated race, we get our English word agony. So go back and read this verse again. Therefore, since there's such a great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance or weight and the sin which entangles us, and let us run with endurance the wrestling match. Let us fight with endurance the boxing match. Your Christian life is a contest. Now again, when historically you have read this verse as a believer in Jesus Christ, and most of you, if not all of you, have read it, you've come away with this mental image in your mind. Usain Bolt, the fastest track runner in the world, in the Olympics. He's like a blur. And this is what you envision when you read this verse. You say to yourself, that's my life. That's the Christian race. I am running, and I'm running fast, and I'm running hard. No, 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 no. Let me tell you what your Christian life is like, and let me give you an image. Because this is what this verse is saying. Your Christian life is like this picture. Makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? That's what the author of Hebrews is saying. You say, well, now, wait a minute. But he uses the word run. And you only run a race. You don't run a wrestling match. Again, it's interesting, this word run. In its root form, was used of farmers back in Grecian days, when they would walk a path back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and they would wear the ground down. That's the root word here. So let me show you what the author of Hebrews is saying first. The contest in your Christian life is between going back to an old pattern of living that you used to have before you came to faith in Christ and staying the course that Christ has set for you. That is your fight. By the way, this is the theme of the entire book of Hebrews, beginning in chapter 2, then chapter 3, then chapter 5. In chapter 6, I've given you the references. The author of Hebrews is saying, look, those of you who have come to faith in Christ, don't turn back. Don't turn away. Don't go back to your old patterns. Stay the course with endurance. What this means is, though you're not Jewish, though you're not Hebrew, and though you're not tempted to go back to the old temple patterns, the way these early Hebrew Christians were when the temple was still in place and sacrifices were being offered and so on. We're not wrestling with that because we're not Hebrews. But let me tell you what your wrestling match might be. The struggle you could have could be an old pattern of behavior. Like an abuse of drugs. Or alcohol. Or sexual immorality. Any of you who think that becoming a Christian takes that out of your life, you have been deceived. When you come to faith in Christ, the struggle begins. In other words, you could have abused alcohol before you became a Christian. You come to faith in Christ. The abuse of alcohol doesn't just disappear. It's a fight. You could have been an immoral woman. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, immorality doesn't just disappear. It's a fight. The struggle you could have could be an old pattern of emotion or attitude. You, by nature, similar to Winston Churchill, who struggled with anger. You could be an angry person by nature. You could be bitter. Somebody crosses you, and boy, you're going to let them have it. Then you come to faith in Christ, and you hear the teachings of your Savior. Love those around you. Love your enemy. Someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Do you think it just instantaneously happens overnight that you're not going to be an angry person? No. It's a fight. It's a fight. So listen to the text. Let us run with endurance the race. Let us fight with perseverance the fight. Let us wrestle with patience and endurance the wrestling match set before us. Let us struggle and never quit the struggling match we are facing. By the way, oh boy, this should prick your heart. If you're full of anger right now as a Christian and you're doing nothing about it, the fact of the matter is you may not be a Christian. Because being a Christian is not the absence of struggle. Being a Christian is the presence of a great struggle. God is more interested in your endurance than he is your excuses. Now, the writer of Hebrews goes on to tell us this. In this wrestling match that you have, as your life is being changed by Christ, and it is a fight, in the fight, the crowd around you is an encouragement for you to endure unto the end. It's there in our text. Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Now, who are these witnesses? Who are these people? Well, I think it is a very clear allusion to the Olympic Games in Greece. Paul would have been quite familiar with them. The Olympic Games began in 776 BC. Many Greeks lived in the Holy Land, came to the temple as proselytes. The Greek Games were renowned across the world. The greatest stadium in the world was built to host the Olympic Games, where the Greek competitors competed for the gods. And thousands upon thousands of people gathered to watch the event. So I do believe it is an allusion to these games. But who are the witnesses in the stands? Who's watching you in your fight? I think there could be three explanations. First, these men and women could well be the people who have run the race before us and have endured. In other words, you pick out what your greatest fight is in the Christian life right now, because the truth is your fights will change. But you pick out what it is you're wrestling with right now, and it is a guarantee that there are others who have gone before you with the same fight. They're the ones watching. And those of you who say, well, I can't do it. I cannot get off of this drug. I can't get victory over my alcohol. I cannot do it. No, that's an excuse. There are others who have fought the same fight, who've gone before you, who have endured. By the way, the author of Hebrews gives us a list of over three dozen in Hebrews 11 who fought the fight and endured. In fact, the men and women in Hebrews 11, in my opinion, are the witnesses that he's referring to. Because the word therefore, in opening up chapter 12, points us back to Hebrews 11. So those of you who say, man, I cannot endure. I can't lick my anger problem. I can't forgive. I can't get over this. They have wronged me. Hey, take a look at Abraham. He was lied to by his own nephew Lot. But the scripture uses him as an example of someone who endured. And not only forgave Lot, but when the opportunity came, Abraham blessed Lot. How about that? Take a look at Moses. Those of you who are lying and cheating in order to get ahead financially, and the Holy Spirit comes along and convicts you of this, You become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and you say to yourself, but I cannot change. I cannot give up all these things that I'm used to having. I've got to continue to cheat and steal. What? Are you kidding me? Take a look at Moses, who turned his back on the riches of Egypt and received the reproach of Christ, enduring. He did it. Third, these men and women could be those God has placed in your life right now, or maybe in the past, who are encouragers to you. This is one of the reasons why Christianity is never to be lived in isolation. This is one of the reasons why you are obligated, according to the Word of God, to connect your life with other people. This is why we at Emmanuel believe small groups are so important. This is why we say to you, you can come to church on Sunday, but if you are not connecting with other believers in your journey, you will find that fighting the fight is far more difficult alone. And hear me. Here at Emmanuel, you will never be judged for fighting. Now, in a lot of churches, you will. Not all. There's some great churches here in Enid that are similar to us. And we would encourage you, if the Lord doesn't plant you here, go there. You will never be judged for fighting. You're fighting alcohol, you're fighting homosexuality, you're fighting immorality, you're fighting anger, you're fighting bitterness. You will never be judged for the fight. Ever. But there may come a time where you could be confronted, if you don't see it as a fight. In other words, God is more interested in you enduring, fighting, wrestling. But then look at this. In the middle of the fight, our text, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, gives to us a call in the midst of our struggle. And it is a call of practical encouragement. Throw that up there, guys. It's the last point. It's a call of practical encouragement. Now, what is it? Well, how about this? God is more interested in how you finish the Christian life than he is in how you begin the Christian life. Simply put, if you're here this morning and you're saying to yourself, hey, I received Jesus when I was 7 years old, I'm a Christian, hey, I'm good. And you are not examining yourself to see whether or not those emotional struggles you're having are getting better because of the power of Christ transforming you, then you're not experiencing Christianity. If you think that being a Christian is making a decision years ago and you have lost sight of the fight today, you're not experiencing Christianity. Let me show you how the Amplified Bible illustrates this verse. Listen to it. Let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and the sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patience and endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Two things in the call of encouragement that are to happen in the middle of our fight. Number one, there are two things, first, to be laid aside: weight and sin. One is amoral, the other is moral. Weight or encumbrance, translated in the New American Standard, simply means those things that are hindering you. It's not necessarily sin. It's just those things that are holding you back. And then, of course, sin is a violation of any commandment of God. Here's the deal. In the Christian life, God is calling out to you, lay aside that weight, that encumbrance, that thing that is holding you back from moving on in your relationship with me and with others. Deal with that sin immediately. Hear me now. You will never go on in 2013 in your intimacy with God or your growth with people and in relationship with them until you realize you're in the middle of a fight. And that thing which is putting you on your back, on the mat, has caused you to give up. And on this first Sunday of 2013, the Spirit of God is shouting at you, get up! Keep on! Keep fighting! Don't let anger get you! Don't let your bitterness ruin you! Don't let your grief drown you! Get up! Fight! Those of you who have battled those addictions. You come to church beginning of 2013, you feel like a hypocrite. And you think to yourself, if I could only get rid of this, man, I'd feel like coming to church. I'd feel like a better person. And God is shouting to you in the middle of the fight. What are you talking about? Do you think it just ends? You're in a fight. Keep on. Keep punching. Keep running. Keep wrestling. Don't stop. Let us run with endurance the race. Let us fight with perseverance the fight. So if you're here this morning and you have really screwed up in your marriage, listen, don't shame out and quit. You let the Holy Spirit call out His encouragement and say to you, keep on keeping on. You tread that path. You walk with perseverance. You keep fighting. You keep persevering. And you will find that it's in the fight your joy is restored. The reason so many of you are cold right now toward God and toward people is because you've given up. I'm done. I'm going to let my sin and I'm going to let my emotions and I'm going to let the weight of this world, I'm going to let all of it get the best of me. I quit. And because of that, you've been pinned. Now God says to you this morning, get up. But the last thing I'll show you is that there is one thing to look at. Not only two things to lay aside, but one thing to look at. And this is where we'll pick up next Sunday morning. Looking unto Jesus. We'll see next time. Verse 2 speaks of the importance of keeping your eye focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one of the things that happens when God's people get pinned on the mat of the Christian life is that they shame out because of what they have done. They say, I can't get back up. I can't fight. People are disappointed in me. I can't. I can't do it. I'll fail again. I can't. I can't keep going. I can't. I can't do this. I can't. I'm giving up. You got your eye on the wrong person. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, the exact same word in verse 1, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. He's your example. Next time we gather, we'll focus in on this. I guess all I could say is this. Couldn't think of a better way to begin 2013 than to say to those of you who ended 2012 in a funk, keep fighting for what's right. Not for yourself. Not for your comforts. Not for other people to value you. Keep fighting to live your life the way Christ would have you live it. And you will find that it's in the fight your joy is restored. Let's pray together.